90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
The only good Indian is a dead Indian.
Welcome to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here for the next hour. Make sure you stay tuned in the next half hour. I'll be doing your news across Indian country, letting you know what's going on. And we had some really good news come out of last week at that auction that was going on. They managed to pull the one item that my tribe was trying to get out of it. Unfortunately, they did go on sale. Some of the other items, but I don't know if you've seen a lot of the news lately, but the river near the museum was rising and threatening their precious paintings over there, like the Mona Lisa. And a lot of people were like, I think that's what you call karma. So it's kind of crazy. So I'll be updating you on that. We're also doing our pledge drive right now. So if you're listening to us, you know we're just not another spot on the dial. We're a window. It's my window, what's going on in our community. We provide music, news, and public affairs programs that you can't get anywhere else. It's an important service, a service made possible by listener support. KKFI is here for you, and please be here for KKFI now. If you're not a KKFI donor, we're glad to at least have you as a listener and take the next step. Help pay for the programs you care about and see how rewarding it is to be an active participant in the KKFI community. If you've never been a KKFI donor before, we sure would love to have you join the party. Don't be shy. It's really very easy and only takes a minute. You can call us at 888-931-0901. Again, our pledge number is 888-931-0901. Or you can go online at kkfi.org and show your support of our great programming that we offer to you. It's very unique. And of course, the only place you can get Native American music and Native news going on across the country here on KKFI. Again, that pledge line is 888-931-0901 or our website at kkfi.org. And we'll get into the music and get started. Here's some Indigenous and Things You Do. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
bones of my history rise to greet me, and the bones of my family rise to greet me. It is 1982. I used to climb the mesa in Grandma's backyard, vertical shadings of torn sandstone rising from the roses tended by her paper-thin hands, looking west, Blue Mountain, looking east, Gawake, Guishchi, the ancient home where her bones were planted. See, the family name was Atsi, a remnant of Spanish assimilation. In the 1800s, the Scots moved across the country. Strange blood mixed with her old ways, and round down, three generations down, I stand at the edge of the table where the earth shifts a million years apart, leaving 5 feet of spiderweb cracked empty space for me to jump across. But at 5 years old, I could not use my legs. I could only stare at the great divide that separated me from my home. And the bones of my family rise to greet me. Now, the old-time non-Hispanic families in Laguna were Marmon, Pratt, and Gunn. Great-grandma fell for the tartan and the name changed. Gunn to Haynes, to Gottlieb, to Francis, to now. Staring across the void at 29, grandma's roses are gone. The old house turned over and buried in scorched sandstone at the base of her breast. The petals fall away and less remember her mother, her name, her trip to Carlisle Indian School, her piano playing, her chili stew, her house, her roses, her mesa, and the cracks in the stones reminds me of how little I know and how little remains. And the bones of my history rise to greet me. It is 2003. I am coming home. I am Little Oak Clan. I am the prodigal son journeying straight out of Luke 15, and I am Americana, Americana, the white guy, standing before children who share my blood, giggling, laughing, leering as my tongue trips on East Coast accented barbed wire. I am 29 years old, and I can't even count to three. One, two, three. Ishka, Tidit, Chimage. I am Americana, mixed blood authority figure coming home to play Indian on the Riz, and the whispers behind my back are in front of me in Caris and laughing at Indian jokes I haven't heard in 20 years. My ears have lost the words and my skin betrays me, leaving me defensive in posture, suspicious in nature, ready to fight my own DNA, my own familial indiscretions that bore me under Oshratz, Bawach, Sunfather, Moonmother, and I point to the past, but youth have vague memories and short reflections of elders they never met and roses that fell from the vines before Creator endowed them with the only thing I ever wanted. Beauty. The brown skin and smooth tongue that makes them Hanukawake, not some mixed up, mixed down, mixed blood Americana who lashed his family to the cracks in the mountains and the Macian sepia-toned roses in the hands of the sky, and the bones of my ancestors rise to greet me. It is 2006. I am home. I am Hapaniwaschi. One, two, three. Ishke, kue, chemie. My mouth and tongue begin to remember, and I am still Americana, but now with streaks of rose petals in my blood. And I am 5 years old, learning to walk on the stones again. When my students say kuatsi, I say ha, atukimo. Now the cracks in the mesa is not so wide, even though I know it will always be there. And for that I say, tawae. Thank you, grandmother.
All right, you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and that was called The Crack in the Mesa by Mr. Lee Francis. And, you know, we're going through our pledge drive right now, so why listen to KKFI? It's not just radio, it's community radio, creative and surprising without having to rely on shock value to keep you engaged. Although I probably do that. I know I talk about stuff some people don't like to hear, but you hear it in our news and discussion programs with features that introduce you to new thinkers, writers, and musicians who change the way you view and hear the world. KKFI Community Radio made possible by listeners just like you, giving their hard-earned money to keep us in your life. And you can help us out and call our pledge drive with a pledge. Our number is 1-888-931-0901. Again, that's 1-888-931-0901. Or you can go online to our website and go to kkfi.org and do that as well. Again, our pledge line is 888-931-0901. And only place you can hear Native American issues, music programming, interviews with people across the country. This past year, you know, we've been talking with people all around the country. Brought you one of the tribal council leaders during the Burns, Oregon standoff militia. We had one of the tribal members talk to us about what was really going on and what they were experiencing. Again, you couldn't hear that anywhere else have those personal experiences coming from that standoff, except here on KKFI. So again, our number is 888-931-0901. I'll be doing your news across Indian Country in about 13 minutes, so make sure you stay tuned for that. We got some good updates for you guys as well. We're going to start the music off again, and this is Floyd Red Crow Westerman and Custer Died for Your Sins. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
That were spoken, for the blood we have spilled, for the treaties that were broken, for the leaders you have stilled. Custer died for your sin. Custer died. Now a new day must begin. Custer died for yourself, for the tribes you terminated, for the myth you keep alive, for the land you confiscated, for a free beauty pride. Custer died for your sin. Custer died for your sin. Now a new day must begin. Custer died for yourself. You pollute, for the life that you have cost, for the good you prostitute, and for all that we have lost. Custer died for your sake. Custer died for yourself. Custer died for your sin. Custer died for your sin. Now a new day must begin. Custer died.
love the old way, and it was fun days for me growing up.
Aloha,
mahine hawaii vau,
maha hawaii. Tasana hohino puhu.
Because, you know, we're talking for the future generations.
I'm Conroy Chino, introducing you to Living Voices, profiles of Native Americans and Native Hawaiians today. As tribal chairman, William Mahoji assisted in drafting the Constitution of the Kaw Nation. After a long career as a teacher, he looks back on some of his key experiences.
My name is William A. Mahoji. I was born on August 6, 1917. Born in Washanga, Oklahoma. I'd like to pay a tribute to my mom, who was an advocate for education. She herself was what we call an Indian blanket woman. She always wore her blanket for her dress. And one of the things she always told me, she said, "I want you to get an education." I tried to follow her advice in getting an education. I attended high school in Kaw City, Oklahoma. Used to regular curriculum for high school students. And I graduated in 1937. Following high school, I went to Haskell Institute. And so after graduating in 1939, I believe it was, I received a call from the superintendent at Pawnee to come and work at the Pawnee Agency. The Pawnee Agency is our home agency for the Kaw Tribe, as well as other four tribes in that area. At that time, my salary was $1,260 a year, which means $105 a month. And to me, that was a lot of money. And my room and board at that time was $1 a day.
I would like to talk about my thoughts about being the last full blood. It's a reality of being the last full blood. To me, is sad and lonely. And we think of time as a speeding thing, just like a bullet. That time is an uncontrolled element. That there's no way that we can slow down time, you know, alter time. And that in the end, time will win out. And the time will come when there will be no full bloods at all in our tribe. When I was growing up in Washanga, I had always respected the older full bloods, who were the elders of the tribe. And I still recall several of the Kaw members who would go down to the only store we had, and they would sit on a bench on a porch and visit. Some of the older men that I recall were Silas Kahn, Rufus Test, Billy Jones, Claude Pepper. The stories and things that they talked about would be priceless for our libraries and our museums now. And we marvel at our older people. They didn't have the education, but they had wisdom. These elders were the historians of their times. They were the keepers of the Indian way of life. And they were dedicated to the fact that this way must continue into the future.
In memory of William Mahoji Sr., the last pure-blood Kaw Indian who passed on April 23, 2000. This interview with William Mahoji was conducted by James Pepper Henry. Living Voices is a project of the Smithsonian Institution, National Museum of the American Indian. Executive producers Kevin Lewis and Elizabeth Weatherford. Project coordinator Nan Rubin. Writers Peggy Berryhill and Ginger Miles. Mixed at Mercer Street Sound. For more information, check out our website at www.si.edu/NMAI. For Living Voices, I'm Conroy Chino.
Well, you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here, and we're doing our pledge drive right now, so you can give us a call on the and pledge your support. Our pledge line is 888-931-0901. And I'll say that again after I say this. Listener contributions are the most important source of funding for KKFI. Your dollars provide 75% of our annual operating revenue, and that's what keeps KKFI on the air. Your support makes your favorite programs possible. You're listening now, so pledge now to keep this program and all of the other programs that matter to you on the air. Pledge what you can to help pay for the amazingly wonderful programs that you hear only on KKFI. Pledging is easy, it's quick, and it's secure, and more to the point, it's absolutely essential if you want to keep this great community station on the air. And again, our pledge line is 888-931-0901. Again, that number is 888-931-0901, and our website is kkfi.org if you want to do that online as well. All right, we're doing your news across Indian country, letting you know what's going on out there. And I talked about last week, my tribe was trying to get this item taken off an auction that was going on in Paris. The Eve Company, a French auction house, had withdrawn that item from their list of auction items. The sale had drawn protests from Acoma Pueblo leadership, high-level United States officials, including the Interior Secretary Sally Jewell. Last Tuesday, a special meeting was held at the Smithsonian Institute's National Museum of the American Indian to stop the auction. Acoma Pueblo Governor Kurt Riley told the French to honor our humanity. Later in the week, the governor sent letters in English and French to the French people seeking to cancel the auction of the American Indian artifacts. A U.S. embassy spokesman called the withdrawal of the shield a small victory in a larger battle to repatriate tribal artifacts and belongings. The shield was reportedly stolen in the 1970s. Auction house officials took it out of the sale pending further investigations. So I was really grateful. People who were retweeting the story and retweeting the letter. Unfortunately, though, they did sell rest of those items. And again, something that should not be going on. And it's graduation time here, high school and college, and we hear battles of our students having to go through to wear their traditional regalia, which is just absolutely crazy because I know I graduated in my regalia. To me, that was dressing up, and so I just find it very odd. So we had a young lady who was being denied to wear her traditional moccasins, and the school in Oklahoma eventually let her do that. And then there was another girl, I believe it was on the East Coast, was trying to wear the same Navajo type style moccasins, and she actually took it to the internet to get a petition going, and the administrators relented. Unfortunately, there was one gentleman in Oklahoma who, when they were going through graduation practices, had his cap beaded for graduation. They were told that he was not allowed to wear that. Jonathan Birdshead has been denied wearing a beaded graduation cap for his high school commencement ceremony. The graduation cap was hand beaded by one of his relatives. The cap has been confiscated by school officials and will be returned after the ceremony. He's allowed to wear an eagle feather, although on his graduation cap. And they received this statement from Craig McVeigh, the superintendent of El Reno Public Schools in El Reno, Oklahoma. Historically, El Reno Public Schools have never allowed decorations of any kind on graduation motorboards, with the exception of an eagle feather for our Native American students. Our intention is for students to respect and understand the cap symbolism. To allow decorations on the cap for one would open it for all. We do, however, allow Native American students to wear their traditional clothing, moccasins, and regalia under the robes if they prefer. The graduation ceremony is a celebratory event, but is also a serious milestone in our students' lives, and we want them to be cognizant of the fact we deeply value our relationship with the Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, as well as other tribal entities, and we will continue to work closely with them in education of our Native American students. And that was from Craig McVeigh, superintendent of El Reno Schools. And so the gentleman, Jonathan Birdshead, when he actually graduated, somebody took a picture and he didn't even wear the cap they gave him. So he just didn't wear anything at all, which is just kind of crazy and ridiculous. All right. The last surviving code talker from the St. Regis Mohawk tribe was presented with a Congressional Silver Medal at a ceremony in New York on May 28th. Louis Levi Oakes, 94, served in World War II. He used the Mohawk language to transmit unbreakable codes. I was young at life that time, Oakes told WWNY. I had a lot of fun. In addition to Oakes, the family members of 16 confirmed Mohawk talkers who had already passed were presented with the silver medal. The family members of another 8 unconfirmed code talkers received the bronze medal. The medal designs are specific to each tribe. The Mohawk medal features a bear, a fox, and a turtle on the obverse to represent the principal clans of the tribe. A Mohawk warrior is featured on the reverse. The medals were authorized by Congress through the Code Talkers Recognition Act of 2008. Gold medals were presented to the 33 tribes that sent their code talkers into battle during a ceremony at the U.S. Capitol in November of 2013. The law authorized silver medals to the code talkers themselves or their surviving family members. Well, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is refusing to submit to the jurisdiction of the Navajo Nation. 2 Navajo siblings identified in court papers as RJ and MM sued the Mormon Church in tribal court in March. The complaint alleges they suffered sexual abuse while participating in a church-operated child welfare program in the late 70s and early 80s. But a declaration filed in federal court on Tuesday says decisions made by the Indian Student Placement Program occurred in Utah, not on the reservation. The church also says the tribe's court lacks jurisdiction over non-Indian entities. Here, defendants RJ and MM have filed claims against these plaintiffs in the Navajo Nation District Court seeking damages for alleged acts of child abuse occurring while they were living with non-member host families in Utah cities and towns outside the Navajo Reservation. A motion filed on Tuesday reads, "These claims far exceed the well-established jurisdictional limits of tribal courts. Simply put, because DOE defendants' claims involve non-member activity outside the reservation, the tribal court has no jurisdiction." The motion notes that the U.S. Supreme Court is expected to issue a decision in Dollar General Corporation versus Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians, a closely watched tribal jurisdiction case that also involves alleged abuse by a non-Indian entity. Once decided, that case may resolve the jurisdictional issue, hereby holding that non-members are not subject to tribal jurisdiction, even for wrongs committed on tribal lands, church attorneys wrote in a footnote. The church is facing a second lawsuit from another Navajo citizen, the Associated Press reported. The woman alleges she was abused in Utah between 1965 to 1972, the AP reported. Thousands of tribal youth took part in the Indian Student Placement Program between 1947 and 2000 when it was officially disbanded. Well, this was kind of an odd story that I found about, I thought, you know, to me, it was really good to reduce the price of tuition of a school, but apparently the lawmaker who's doing this is facing harsh criticism. So tuition at University of North Carolina at Pembroke, which was founded to educate members of the Lumbee tribe, would be lowered to just $500 a semester under a controversial bill when Senator Tom Apodaca introduced SB 873, the Access to Affordable Higher Education Act, and included 5 public institutions that primarily serve Native American, African American, and low-income students. Outcry forced him to remove all but Pembroke and Western Carolina University, which enjoys a close relationship with the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. "I've also been disappointed being called a racist and bigot," Apodaca told the Associated Press. "The Lumbee tribe, whose ancestors helped found Pembroke in 1887, haven't commented on the bill, but University Chancellor Robin Gary Cummings has raised questions about the potential impact on the school's budget. African American leaders have raised similar concerns Access to higher education has been at the core of UNC Pembroke's mission since its founding 129 years ago. So we welcome discussion about ensuring college is within reach for as many people as possible, Kumu said in a message last month. However, we have raised questions regarding the implementation of the bill, should it become law, as well as potential unintended effects on our campus, specifically regarding financial stability and the value of our brand. Between 1887 and 1953, the student population at Pembroke was exclusively or predominantly Indian. Today, about 15% of the student body is Native American, according to the university. Well, we have, you know, Native Americans that are running for races in different states. And this one just popped up, and written by Mark Trahant on TrahantReports.com. And so I'll just read the whole column that he wrote. He said, I remember John McCain speaking at Window Rock Veterans event. It must have been about 20 years ago. One of the speakers told McCain that he recently joined the Republican Party. McCain smiled and talked about why other Navajos should do that and what it would mean to have them represented in both parties. But not many Navajos made the switch. Apache County, which is mostly Navajo, have some 26,784 active Democrats and only 7,893 Republicans. The numbers are similar in other Arizona counties with large Native American populations. One family is trying to change that. State Senator Carlisle Begay switched his affiliation from Democrat to Republican in November and in March announced he's running for Congress in Arizona's first congressional district. As I noted, this district has a higher percentage of Native American voters than any other district in the country. Two other Navajo candidates are running for that seat, Republican Sean Redd and Democrat Cato Sullivan. Begay told the Navajo Times in an exclusive interview that he wanted to be the voice for the nation's overlooked and forgotten communities. And this week, Candace Bigodi Begay announced she would run for the Arizona Senate, that her husband, which is Carlisle Begay, will give up to run for Congress. She was, until this week, the editor of the Navajo Times. There was nothing posted about this episode on the Times website, but the Arizona Republic reported she was forced to resign her post. Quote, she became an official candidate for the Arizona State Senate, and so really it was in the best interest of all parties involved that we make the separation, Times CEO Tom Arviso told the Republic. We want to avoid any conflict of interest. If you're a journalist and you're covering politics and running for office, there's a conflict, unquote. Bigodi Begay told the Arizona Republic earlier this week that she's had enough of mediocre leadership. She said it's time to change the mentality of the way we look at ourselves. She said the Republican Party fits her upbringing and the traditional teachings from her elders. Can one family build a Republican Party on the Navajo Nation? And will it give tribal communities more clout? An interesting dilemma and daunting math. Arizona used to be a reliable Republican state, and it's still true in terms of elective office, but in terms of voters, the state is changing rapidly. The percentages in Apache County haven't changed all that much in a decade, but statewide back then, Republicans were about 44% of the electorate, Democrats 41%, and others, unaffiliated independents, about 14%. Today, independents are the largest voter bloc in the state, about 35%, and there are fewer Republicans, also at 35%, followed by Democrats at 29%. In her state Senate bid, Bigodi Begay will likely face an experienced politician in the fall, veteran and former state representative Jancita Peshlakai, who was defeated by Carlisle Begay in 2014. But in that race, Begay ran as a Democrat. Previous, a record year for Native candidates. This time, Peshlakai will own that line. So it was written by Mark Trahant. He's the Charles R. Johnson Endowed Professor of Journalism at the University of North Dakota. And so you can find him at TrahantReports.com. All right. So again, we're doing our pledge drive. And if you can give us a pledge, you can give us a call at 888-931-0901 or go online at kkfi.org. And we'll get back to the music. This is Redbone.
Those who contribute on a credit card during our current fund drive are eligible for the following gifts. At the $75 level, you'll receive the KKFI Collaboration CD. At the $90 level, the newest KKFI T-shirt. Or at the $150 level, the guest DJ for 1 hour, which you can gift to someone or keep it for yourself. Call 888-931-0901 or donate online at kkfi.org. That's 888-931-0901. Call now, 888-931-0901.
All right, you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And you know, we rely on listener contributions for the largest share of our income, and that drives the quality of what you hear on the air. Most people don't give to community radio until they've developed a community radio listening habit and any other business that translates into finding customers and keeping their repeat business. For that to happen here at KKFI, we have to pay attention to what you're interested in hearing. We have to transform KKFI from just another radio station into your radio station. And once we've earned your support, we have to put your money to work so we can keep you tuned in and informed. That is how listeners support nonprofit community radio works. That's why you find so many good programs on KKFI, and that's why we're asking you to make your gift right now. You can call us at 888-931-0901 or go online at kkfi.org. Again, the number is 888-931-0901, and keep our wonderful music going, Native American music. I was going to say right before I did the news, I was playing that Jim Pepper song, Witchy Tie song, and he was basically just a pioneer in jazz musicianship. He worked Native music into jazz, and very renowned for that. He's on the Kaw and Creek heritage. And he's just done so many collaborations, although he passed away on February 10th, 1992. And April 2007, the National Museum of the American Indian in Washington, D.C. accepted Pepper's saxophone and hat at a ceremony honoring his music and legacy. So yes, he's just a wonderful musician. A lot of people have built their music on, and actually, Bill Miller and Gary Farmer are working on a collaboration to redo that song, that Witchy Tie song. And so it'd be interesting to hear that when it comes out. So make sure you stay tuned. We'll hopefully get a copy of that. All right. Well, it's about my time to be getting out of here. And Sunset Reggae is coming up for you next. So make sure you call in and pledge 1-888-931-0901. Be leaving you off with some Native American church music. Everybody have a wonderful week, and I'll see you again next Sunday.
Yana ho,